Jeff.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein's our national and presidential expert, noted author. Find his books over at Next Chapter Books, as well as also totallyiowa.com. The Iowa Business Report is, of course, his daily show down there. Great show that he does down there. And the Iowa Politics Report that comes to us from KXEL Cedar Falls, Waterloo, where he is stationed at. And I hear you're feisty today. Why are you feisty?
Well, I was, but then I heard that music and now I'm all mellow.
You can't be upset with that music. That music is brilliant.
Oh, that's what I said. If it was a banjo, you can't get upset at banjo music. And then you've got that goofy guy just saying my name over and over. But no, I don't know. Maybe I should start using that music. Did you know this? Because apparently no one has asked for this, but my show is going to be longer in the future.
I love when, hey, we're following what you wanted to do. What do you mean, what I wanted to do?
No, nobody wants it. I don't want it, but we're going to add an hour to my program.
Okay.
So maybe that's the time to roll out the theme music there, the little piano music. Won't that sound nice with your second cup of coffee in the morning?
No, but you and I can go back to our roots, man. We'll spin records. We'll WKRP it in it. We'll go on out there and we'll play hits. You want a third hour? Fine. Here's Steppenwolf. There we go. We're done.
I was going to go polkas and schottisches.
Nothing wrong with a good polka. Oh, a polka show. You can do a polka show even in Des Moines, Minneapolis, of course, Chicago, and you'd get a great response with the listeners.
I have actually been to two live polka shows in the month of July.
Have you?
In the state of Iowa. Yes, I went to the Molly B. Polka Show.
Nice.
You know the Molly B. from RFD TV?
No, I do not.
Well, we got to get you schooled on this.
Apparently, I need to. Well, when I had my wedding reception, we got married,
yes.
And then we had a wedding reception in the summer. We had a 9-piece accordion band.
That's outstanding.
It was. It was a keg of beer and a roast pig. It was brilliant. It was fantastic.
A 9-piece accordion band / baseball team, right? They were a traveling baseball team also. They took on the single A affiliates of the Twins throughout the Midwest.
They took on the Pox Christi team over at Starling Lake. They fell 5-4 in extra innings, though. That was a heck of a game. The accordions, the Bavarian accordions versus the Pox Christi Pius. And there you go. Okay. Well, to cheer you up, let's bring in coronavirus. I want to talk about this in the sense being that the political ramifications, because there is an end to the dock as the car is rolling out to the end of it here for these Republicans who have the one thing that could not happen. If things started going well, vaccines started kicking in, masks in, people, the infection rate drops. I think they actually had a fairly decent plan in place to try to go after Democrats in 2022 with overreaction to the pandemic, to the coronavirus. The problem they had is if this started coming back and it specifically targeted people who are unvaccinated, proudly unvaccinated, areas where the Republicans have, not downplayed vaccines, downplayed masks, downplayed social distancing and pandemic, safety protocols, that could end up coming back. And I think kind of that's what we're seeing in Florida. It is a mess down there. And DeSantis is more interested in basically trying to win some debate as the school season gets ready to begin down there that he is just not going to win. Asa Hutchinson down in Arkansas, he's basically saying, the mask mandate, the outlawing mask mandate was a huge mistake. We need to fix that. You already have Republicans realizing they've painted themselves in a corner, and if they don't fix this, these numbers, especially as we go into fall, they're actually going to, obviously we should be concerned because people are dying and people are getting sick, but politically, that this is a mess for them because now all of a sudden they're the ones saying, get the morgues going again, get the hospital ICU units going again because they're the ones standing in the way.
COVID completely changed the 2020 cycle. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Absolutely,
absolutely changed everything.
Yes.
And I'm not saying it changed the outcome necessarily, but it changed everything about the whole discussion. 2021, Matt, has been dominated by COVID. Every time Joe Biden wants to move on to another topic, it all comes back to COVID. And that wasn't a criticism of the president. I'm just saying COVID comes up again. And so the fact that how people are handling the pandemic in 22, because it still will be with us at this time next year, we don't know what it will look like. We don't know whether there will be better treatment. We don't know if there will be additional variants, but it is going to be the key factor of the 2022 election. Either how are you handling it right now, or how did you handle it? I think that's going to be true for both sides. And the trick is, are you consistent, or do you just kind of wave in the breeze? So, you know, when you've got people like Hutchinson saying, you know, a month ago this was a great idea, now it's a horrible idea. Okay, that's we're just going to have to see if that was an overreaction politically now, or if these people who are not reacting, if they're the ones who are the turtles with their heads tucked in their shells when it comes time 2022. In other words, everybody's laying odds. Mm-hmm. As to what the proper method is. I would suggest the administration in Washington is being very careful about things. There are many who are saying, well, you shouldn't have put the mask mandate in this soon. You shouldn't have taken it off when you did. Hey, everybody's just doing the best they can with what they're given at the time. I do think that transparency is going to be important for politicians of every stripe, because you're on the cusp of something, Matt, that we've talked about before on this program, and that is there are some people who will vote based on party regardless, and there are many, many, many people who say a pox on all your houses. And so you could see not necessarily a big red year or a big blue year in 22. You could see a big anybody but who's in there now year. And it just depends on how this plays out at this point. To your point about if you're a Republican who downplayed everything and it comes back, you know, more evil than ever, of course, you're going to be in trouble depending on how you respond to how this ebbs and flows. Absolutely.
And I'll go back. To be fair, I will say this. I went back and I looked at some of the comments coming from the White House and the Biden administration really about April, May. And there was a little bit of Pollyanna stuff going on there where it was the, you know, okay, we're going to get past this and stuff. But the reality is, they should have, I mean, because Fauci was talking about variants at that point. He was still talking about variants, and they should have listened more to Fauci. I think everyone, we've learned we need to listen more to Fauci. But, I mean, there was, I think, a pie in the sky kind of mentality a little bit. Not completely, but there really was kind of or almost to a finish line, and that really was not a fair assessment. That being said, it's very difficult for a Republican who is screaming, get rid of all the mask mandates, get rid of all the executive orders, let people go out and do things, to all of a sudden turn around and say, why did you get rid of the mask mandates? You can't really do that.
Right.
And so that whole avenue has pretty much been negated for him. I mean, you got Ducey on Fox News trying to open that lane up, but it gets smacked down all the time.
That is the point.
Yeah.
But that is, you are exactly right, because that's where I said, are you consistent or not?
Yes.
Because if you decide, well, I better be consistent, then you're crossing your fingers that you're consistently correct.
Yes.
It's going to turn out. Because again, do you want to be known as the person who just waffled all over the place? I will say one thing about Fauci, Dr. Fauci. I wonder if the administration would be better served by having someone else be the point person. And I say that not questioning. Yeah, I don't care for a lot of what he's doing and saying and some of it. But I think that at this point, perhaps he has become such a lightning rod that they need to find someone else who has the gravitas to be a fresh voice that might be accepted by both sides. Rochelle Walensky, I thought, was moving down that road as the person who was out all the time for the CDC, but now apparently some members of the administration are cross with her in terms of inconsistent messaging. But I'm just saying, from the if what you're trying to do in the court of public opinion is get people to have confidence, you may need a new messenger.
Well,
and he can control the message behind the scenes, but we're talking about, you know, 2021, and you got to, you know, it's showbiz, right?
Well, and I'll say this. I don't necessarily think you're wrong. It's not Fauci's fault. When Trump lost, he became public enemy number one because he was the guy that was counterpointing Trump on, you know, light bulbs and bleach injections. And so, you know, he became an easy target of the far right, and they have... They do what they do is that once they start vilifying someone, they never stop. And that's what we saw with Hillary Clinton. They're doing it with Fauci. And that means the question is, even though Fauci himself might not be the source of the disdain for him, the reality is that he is so disdained that I can buy that. But I think you would agree with this. Democrats, they don't see that. They just say, well, it's not his fault, so we're going to stay with him. And that ends up, you know, that generally ends up basically putting more salt in the wounds. I think Fauci has done a good job. I think sometimes he gets a little too sciencey at times, and he doesn't want to, you know, because he likes to draw fine lines. But the reality is I think it's the message here right now is they're trying to make Biden look like he had failed on this. Let me go to DeSantis. Let's go to Florida. Their school season starts. Their school year starts next week. You know, you and I both know what's coming. There's going to be some school districts in some of these Republican districts where there's not a lot of vaccinated kids, and it's going to be a super spreader event. And all of a sudden, you're going to have a bunch of parents who demanded no masks, demanded the schools get open. You're going to have sick teachers, sick administrators, sick bus drivers, and a ton of sick kids. 40, maybe even 50% in a school, because that's how this Delta variant works with the unvaccinated. It really spreads through there quick, like was it chickenpox? And so, you know, you're going to have that. And regardless of how DeSantis tries to say, I'm for freedom. Yeah, you're for the freedom of everyone getting sick. I mean, you got to have some common sense leadership. You know, I think to a point, that's the thing which is going to be interesting to see is how forgiving really are Republicans when all of a sudden it's their family member in an ICU bed?
There's nothing like finding religion. as you're on your way out, you know, I mean, and I don't mean to be too flip.
Glib. No, you're not. But your point is right. It is like all of a sudden, oh, they were lying to me? Really? Oh, okay. Not necessarily about religion, but about vaccines.
No. Right. It's a matter of when I hear from people who have not taken the vaccine yet, what they're basically doing is they're evaluating, they're waiting. They're not, the people I talk to aren't anti-vax. You know those are going to be the people, and I have no problem with it. If they get sick, they're going to say, oh, man, I should have gotten the vaccine because I either might not have gotten it or it would have been less. And a lot of people that I hear from now who are saying I'm going either now or very soon to get the shot, it's because they figure, all right, I would rather take my chance with side effects from the vaccine as opposed to, oh, gosh, I wish I would have gotten it. Because maybe it isn't 100%, obviously it isn't, but maybe it will help me not go into the hospital. And so that's the evolution of this. And that's why the rhetoric on it is, it's not helpful when it's hot. I understand the president saying, well, if you're not getting the shot, you're not as smart as I thought you were. I get it, but, you know, I think there are a lot of reasons why people don't get the vaccination other than, A, they refuse to get any vaccination. That's actually, I think, a relatively small number of people.
A lot of Minnesota Vikings, apparently. Well,
certainly in the quarterback.
Yeah, well, indeed.
But again, here's your $100. You know, to get a shot. It's like, you know, this is the problem that I think. Instead of asking people why aren't you getting it and addressing that, we're coming up with, I'll call them gimmicks, you know, Walmart. All right, we want everybody who works at Walmart to be vaccinated. We'll give you $150. Yes, we know it used to be 75. If you took the deal at 75, we'll make you whole. You know, it's like you shouldn't be handing out money on a medical decision. I just bristle at that because I think a lot of people, if you just have the conversation and show numbers, and this is where I think the administration got out ahead of itself a little bit in an effort to really save people, okay? They came out and said last week, I think it was a week ago today, we got to mask up again. And they didn't have the data. And I think people are smart enough, if you show them real live data so that they know why there's a change, they'll go along with it, at least enough to get you to the next level toward so-called herd immunity, if I could talk, herd immunity.
You know, two things. Well, I want to just clarify one thing. Breakthrough cases on vaccinations, I'm just going with the Minnesota numbers that are out today. It is, you know, 99.95% of people who are vaccinated are not breakthrough cases, only 0.05 are. So that's it is a tremendous amount of evidence that these vaccines work. And there is empirical evidence that if you do get vaccinated and you do get coronavirus, you are likely less likely to get seriously ill or go into the hospital or die, God forbid. Now, that being said, Minnesota is going to be a very interesting state to watch because the Republican and likely, I was reading this today, the likely probably Republican nominee for governor next year is a guy named Dr. Scott Jensen, who is a guy that has embraced some of these conspiracy theories towards the vaccines and very much played down the vaccine, very much played down. He's now kind of changing his tone to saying, well, talk to your doctor and make your own decision. But he has a lot of audio where he has downplayed vaccines and he's downplayed masks and he's, you know, he's kind of implied that this is some sort of conspiracy of the medical industry just jumping up numbers to try to make money. Well, he basically went on the campaign trail early, and right now he knows how to talk to the Republican voter in the state, and right now he seems to be scaring off a lot of other people. It's going to be very interesting to see a guy who has a ton of that in his record. How is he going to basically be able to turn that? Because I can tell you right now, that is not going to fly in the metro area. And if he doesn't, you know, he needs to make some dents in the suburbs. And if he doesn't, the Republicans are going to get wiped out on the statewide races again. But he needs, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see how, if he can even change his narrative that he's been running with to get the Republican nomination.
Well, there are two things that come to mind. And one, we've already seen a bit of, and I think you're going to see more of it. People with the word doctor by their name running for office.
Yes.
That doesn't, you know, I don't know that that necessarily is going to lend the kind of credibility on all issues, but it's the hot issue. And so, okay, I'll see that. This is the same thing that we have talked about since we were far younger and less tired at night, as much younger men. You run to the extreme to get the nomination, then you sprint to the middle when it comes time for the general election. And the trick is, and it's true on both sides, the farther to the extreme you have to run to get the nomination, the harder it is to win because you've got to come back toward the center. And so if you've got somebody who has said, oh, these vaccines, you know, don't fall for that. That's just medicine show stuff. Going to be hard to walk that back at a debate in October.
It is. And as you and I have pointed out, it's changed since 2008 because now that far, especially on the right side, that far extremist side grabs your shirt and belt buckle and prevents you from running too fast back to the center. That has been definitely one of the problems that they've had on the Republican side in some states. Jeff Stein joining us. When we come on back, two developments with Trump and as far as investigations, we'll get into that. 952-946-6205. It is the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950. Spiritual thoughts, spiritual life, spiritual... AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein joining us for his usual Wednesday visit. Jeff, two developments here. I'm not surprised by one. The Trump administration now says they are going to fight the Treasury Department giving their taxes, his taxes that were missing to Congress. Back to the same argument. It's a political game. The reality is what was saving him last time was the DOJ and the Treasury saying, no, there's no justifiable reason to give them to him. But now, funny, new administration, DOJ and the Treasury says, yes, there is. And so it's going to be interesting to see if Trump can really stop that.
Well, he'll try. But as I've said before, if he were smart, he'd just release them because there's nothing in there at a granular level that is going to make a connection with foreign powers, which is what everybody has been suggesting would be in there. The tax returns don't show you that stuff.
Well, and I agree.
And so it's, it's like, you know, if he, except for pride, which, as we know, the 45th president, that guides a lot of his actions. If he were smart, he'd just say, you want them? Here you go. Let me post them online. Here's a video if somebody will post it and let me, you know, put it somewhere and I'll take it line by line through the thing. But we both know he won't do that because it's a fight and he needs an enemy. And that's how he raises all this money that he's going to funnel into the midterms.
I agree with you. I don't know if there's necessarily any smoking guns in there, but I think it's just because he just doesn't want people seeing what's been going on behind the curtain. He feels as if he's, you know, he'll lose something with that. The other one that actually is a surprise is he says he will not fight the DOG, his former DOG officials testifying in the 1-6 commission about what had gone on, including that bombshell that came through last Thursday, where basically he was talking to, and the notes taken by DOJ officials was saying, well, you just declare the election illegitimate. Me and the Republicans in Congress will take care of the rest, which is, wow, that, as someone's made the argument, and I was reading an interesting article, that actually is almost getting up to that Nixon level of quality of, okay, this guy needs to go, if there was that level of planning in regards to what was going on with 1-6. Your thoughts on that? Did we lose?
Well, you know, if he were to, you were cutting out a second ago, but I got the gist of it. If he were to try to stop people from testifying, then it's going to look like he has something to hide. He can use his bully pulpit of his news release, them are disloyal and they're wrong, et cetera, after they testify, and his supporters will still believe him, but it would look very much like he had something to hide in the event he were to try to invoke some sort of privilege. Did you notice that Kinzinger's even saying that he doesn't think that Trump himself will have to testify? I found that interesting.
I think he did, but I'm going to be very interested to see how many Congress people do testify, because there clearly is, especially Mo Brooks, Gosser. I'd say Jim Jordan. I think there definitely is a list that's being tabulated of people they want to sit down and say, okay, what did you know? Who did you talk to? Who was in charge of what on that day? Because a lot of these guys were associated with those events.
Well, what's his name from Ohio? Jim, what's his nuts?
Jordan.
I can't even remember.
Jordan.
Jordan. I was going to say Jensen. That's not it. Jordan. Well, he even admitted that he talked to Trump that day. Well, you know, that's reason enough for him to have not been on the committee. I mean, that's what the speaker should have done, is say, you're going to be a witness. You can't be on the committee. That's why they wanted to appoint you, so you wouldn't be a witness. Yes, that will be fascinating to see what some of these people say. I know the congresswoman from my district here in Iowa, wow, she'd been in Washington a whopping 3 days and said, hey, I lived through this.
I've got to go. Jeff, we got to go. Again. We're at the end. Jeff Stein, once again, Spotlight This. We'll be back in 2 weeks with him. Hour 2 up next.